this church has shown is generosity, not only in monetary ways, but in other ways. You are a generous people. This is a generous church. So I want to talk about generosity for the next 2 weeks with the understanding that you are a generous people and we are a generous church, but I think that even generous people need to be reminded about the need to be a blessing. Because we live in a culture, really, that is anti-blessing. We live in a culture that is marked by a lot of things, materialism and greed and those kind of things. So I think even as a generous people, even as generous Christ followers, we need to be reminded that we are blessed to be a blessing. And so this morning, what I want us to do is go back to the first book, and there we find a man named Abraham. And we actually don't know a lot about Abraham. He's very famous, but we don't know a lot about him. He's first mentioned in Genesis chapter 11. At that point in his life, Abraham's name was Abram. It was later that his name morphed into Abraham, which means father of nations, father of many. Now, we think Abraham was born somewhere around 1875 B.C., and his family lived in the Ur of Chaldeans, which is part of modern-day Iraq. At some point, the family moved to Cana and lived in the village of Haran. And Abraham came, I don't know if you know this or not, from an idol-worshipping family. Listen to what it says in Joshua chapter 25. Joshua said to the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates, and they worshipped other gods." Abraham came from an idol-worshipping family. Now, you wouldn't think God would be able to use someone in a great way from a family like that, but that's how God works. All through the Bible, all down through history, we see that God picks the most unlikely of people. And so I want you to know today that maybe you're an unlikely person. And I want you to know that God can use you. If God could use Abraham in the way God used Abraham, and Abraham came from an idol-worshipping family, God can use you. Don't ever think that God can't use you in significant ways to bless others. And God blessed Abraham. Look at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. "And the Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people, your father's house, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you.'" How did God bless Abraham? God blessed Abraham, notice first of all, with the promise of offspring. "I will make you into a great nation." That is both an incredible and a seemingly impossible promise. If you know the story, you know that Abraham and his wife Sarah were not able to conceive. Abraham had not fathered one child, never mind a great nation. And at this point in the story, Abraham was around 75 years old. Imagine that. God's promises must have seemed pretty far-fetched. Have we got any 75-year-olds in the crowd today? Nobody's putting up their hands, yeah. Some of you are that old. Imagine, never mind, I'm filtering. Imagine God coming to you and saying, "You're going to have a kid." You're going, "Yeah, right." But that's what happened. And God promised that he would make Abraham into a great people. In fact, later in chapter 15, God says this. Look up at the heavens and count the stars, Abraham, if indeed you can count them, so shall your offspring be. God blessed Abraham with the promise of offspring. God blessed Abraham with material blessings. He says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. Now, many scholars think that the blessing that's referred to here when God says to Abraham, I will bless you, is one of a material abundance. And why do they think that? Well, if you go to Genesis 13, verse 1 and 2, it says this. So Abraham went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abraham, I give up on this Abraham. It's Abraham, okay? Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock, in silver, and gold. And then it says, just a few verses down in verse 5, now Lot was moving about with Abraham, along also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great. They were not able to stay together. It seems clear that God had blessed Abraham with an abundance of wealth. God had also blessed Abraham with the name of honor. Look at what it says. It says, I will make your name great. Great there means famous or distinguished. God was going to make Abraham's name great or distinguished. God promised Abraham that future generations would remember his name. And here we are today talking about him. And then God blessed Abraham with protection. Look again at Genesis 12. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. God had chosen and called Abraham, and God was going to protect him. And all who blessed Abraham would be blessed by God, and all who cursed Abraham would be cursed by God. Now get this. This is important. The blessing didn't stop with God blessing Abraham. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. There was a purpose in God's blessing Abraham. Again, Genesis 12, the first couple of verses. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. God blessed Abraham so he could be a blessing to others. This is so important for us to grasp. The reason God blessed Abraham was that so he could turn around and pass on the blessing to others. Abraham was not just to be a receptacle of God's blessings. He was to be a pipeline of God's blessings. God blessed him so he could bless others. And just like Abraham was blessed to be a blessing, guess what? We're blessed to be a blessing too. Hasn't God blessed us? God has blessed us. Think about this. God has blessed us spiritually. Jesus came and gave his life for our redemption. On the cross, Jesus took all the sin, past, present, future, all the brokenness of the world upon himself. On the cross, Jesus took upon himself the condemnation of our sin. Colossians 2:14 says this, he canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Jesus paid the price. He's redeemed us. He set us free. We have been blessed spiritually. We've also been blessed materially. Do you go through life living here in Victoria realizing how blessed we've been materially? I think it's hard for us to remember just how blessed we are by world standards. And so let me share some stuff with you. And I'm not sharing this to make you feel guilty. I'm sharing this to make you realize just how blessed we are. According to the Global Rich List, if you make $20,000 a year, you are in the top 7.28% of the richest people in the world by income. If you make $50,000 a year, you're in the top 0.62%. In other words, you're in the top 1% wealthiest people on the planet. If you make over $100,000 a year, Water time. If you make over $100,000 a day, I want to talk to you. If you make over $100,000 a year, you're in the top, get this, 0.11% of the wealthiest people on this planet. Folks, we're blessed. Listen to this. Do you have a car? Only 8% of the world's population has a car, never mind two. Do you have running water in your home? 85% of the people in the world do not. Do you have access to health care? 1.5 billion, that's with a B, people in our world have absolutely no access to health care. Do you own a Bible? In North Korea, owning a Bible can get you either executed or deported to a labor camp. Did you like something on Facebook this week? In Egypt, liking a Christian-themed Facebook status is grounds for 6 years in prison. Did you make at least minimum wage this week if you were working? Half the world lives on less than $2 a day. 1 billion people in this world live on less than a dollar a day. We're blessed. We are a blessed people. And if you noticed, the more blessings people have you ever noticed this? The less grateful they are. And if you notice that it seems like the more blessings people have, the more entitled they feel. There's an old song we used to sing in church called Count Your Blessings. You've been around church, you remember that, the chorus, I won't sing it. It says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. And I think we need to do that on a regular basis. I think it's important for us to realize that just like Abraham was blessed materially, we've been blessed materially. And I think we need to remember that because it's so easy to forget. We've also been blessed with relationships, right? Most of us have significant, good relationships in our lives. God has blessed us with amazing relationships. In other words, folks, we are blessed. But it doesn't stop there. We are blessed to be a blessing. The Bible very clearly teaches us that God blesses us so that we can bless others. In fact, let me paraphrase what God said to Abraham. Abraham, I will give you blessings beyond measure in the form of children and wealth and an honorable name so that you will be able to be a blessing and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And just like God blessed Abraham so he could be a blessing, God has blessed us so we can be a blessing. You see, we're not just to be receptacles of God's blessings, we're to be pipelines of God's blessings. Blessings begin with God, and then they flow out to you and me, but it shouldn't stop there. The blessings we receive are supposed to flow through you and me to others. We are to be channels of blessings. We're to bless other people spiritually. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16 say this, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." As Christ followers, as we live 6:8, as we live out Micah 6:8, and as we seek to walk humbly with Jesus every day our feet are on this planet, we are to go into our places and shine brightly for Him. And if we're walking humbly with Jesus, that is exactly what we're going to do. And as we walk into the dark places, you know what we bring? We bring light. And light dispels darkness. And when we bring the light of Jesus into dark places, we bring blessing. We bring hope. That classmate who is grieving over the death of a parent or a grandparent, and you come alongside, and they're in that dark place, and as they mourn, and you come alongside them, and you share the hope and the light of Jesus, you're a blessing. That coworker who's going through a divorce and is being ripped apart on the inside by this divorce, and relationally it's destroying them, and you come alongside, and you walk with them, and you encourage them, and you give them the hope of Jesus, you're being light and a blessing. Your neighbor gets diagnosed with cancer, and you come alongside and you walk with that neighbor and you speak hope into their lives, and you're bringing light into a dark place, and you're a blessing. In fact, you're going to see a video right after the sermon of my neighbor who we prayed for. And he doesn't come to church on a regular basis at all, but he's going to talk about how our prayers were a blessing in his life. Light coming into a dark place. We're to bless people spiritually. We're also to bless people, we know this, materially. I mean, we've been tremendously blessed by God with material possessions. We know this. We just talked about this a few minutes ago. But let me just say, have you ever noticed how many people think God blesses them for them? And when you believe that God blesses you for you, you start thinking it's all mine. You start thinking more, bigger, better. And you know what that does? That leads you to living a closed-fisted life. I know somebody who over the years has become wealthier and wealthier. And as they become wealthier and wealthier, their hands have gone like this. And now they're closed-fisted. And it's all about them. And it's all about mine. You know what? I wouldn't say they're happy. Because they're gripping onto. See, that's not how God wants us to live, right? We know that. God does not bless us, I've already said this, just for our own benefit. He blesses us materially so we can bless others, so that we can live open-handed lives. And listen, when we live open-handed lives, when we go, God, I surrender everything I have to you, it's yours to use, I want to bless others because you bless me. When you live an open-handed life, you know what? You find joy. Paul says to us in 1 Timothy 6:18, command them to do good, be rich in good deeds, be generous and willing to share. Paul is telling us there to be rich in good deeds, to be generous, to be willing to share. Listen, we're blessed not so we can consume more and more, but so we can show greater and greater amounts of compassion. So that we can live lifestyles of sacrificial generosity. Let me share something with you I've shared with you before, and it's from another Bible character, and it's back in the Old Testament book of Exodus. And in that book, God called this man Moses to lead the people out of slavery. And if you know the story, you know Moses made every excuse in the book why he wasn't the guy. And at one point in this exchange with God, God says this to Moses. He says, then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand, take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Notice, then the Lord said, what is that in your hand, Moses? A staff. Now, a staff was nothing more than a glorified stick. There was nothing extraordinary about a staff. But understand this. The common becomes mighty when God anoints it. The common becomes mighty when God anoints it. Samson used a donkey's jawbone to slay 1,000 men. David used slings and stones to slay the giant Goliath. And God took a simple shepherd's staff in Moses' hands and miraculously transformed it into a snake. A dead piece of wood became alive. And Moses used that staff to part the Red Sea, to get water from a stone. I'm sure that Moses never imagined how God would use a simple shepherd's staff that was in his hand to powerfully bless and serve others. Take out your wallet for a minute or grab onto your purse. No, we're not taking the offering. Relax. Just take out, cooperate with me. Just grab your wallet, grab your purse. This isn't going to be painful. Trust me. All right. Purse, wallet in your hand, just for a minute here. I want you to look at that. Just look at the wallet, look at the purse. What's in your hand? Your wallet, your purse. Here's the deal. God wants to use what's in your hand, this thing, to bless other people. And I know some of you go, yeah, but the amount I can use to bless others is insignificant. It's menial. Understand this. When we do this, when we open our hands and release what is in our hands and said, God, it's yours, God will use it, whether it's a lot or a little, to bless others in mighty ways. Amen? In fact, as you hold on to this, I think God wants to use that wallet, that purse, to bless someone today. How can you use that wallet, that purse, to bless someone today? When we talk about materially blessing, you can put your purse or wallet away now. What? See, it wasn't so bad, was it? You can all breathe. I should have got you to pass it to the person next to you, and then we should have taken the offering. Yeah. What was I thinking? Anyway. What else do you hold in your hand that you can use to materially bless someone else? Yeah, time. Some of you have bazillions of airline points. How can you use your bazillion of airline points to bless someone else? Some of you have vacation homes, cottages. How could you bless a single parent with that vacation home, that vacation cottage, that timeshare? Some of you have an extra room in your house. How could you bless someone with that? Some of you got a car that's just sitting around doing nothing. What could you do with that? What could you do with what God has given you materially to bless others? And then let me say also that not only can we bless people spiritually, materially, but we can also bless them relationally, because listen, the love of Jesus changes people, right? The love of Jesus changes people, right? Okay, breathe. Okay, it blesses and it transforms people. If Jesus, here's it, Jesus wants his love to flow through you to bless and change others. Just like he wants you to bring light into darkness, Jesus wants his love to flow through you. He wants to bless you with his love, but he wants his love not to stop with you. He wants his love to flow through you to bless others. Because as you do that, his love will bless, it will change, it will transform, it will bring hope. So here's a couple of questions. How can you bless those you live with? Your roommate, your spouse, your children. How can you bless the people you work with? The people you go to school with, the people you go to church with. How can you bless the people in your neighborhood? Springtime's here. Adopt your block. You're going to hear more about that again in a few weeks, but adopt your block. It's time, folks. People are coming out of cocooning, hopefully, if the snow ever stops, and they're going to come out into their yards. How can you bless your neighbors? And for those of you with gray hair, and there's a few of you in this room, how can you bless the next generation? Listen, every generation craves a blessing from the one that went before it. And here at Saanich, we want to raise up a generation to go out and be 6'8 world changers, people that will go out into the city, into this country, and beyond, all over the world, will go out and walk humbly and love mercy and act justly. And we want to raise them up, and they want to be raised up. And so how can we with gray hair deliberately look at people who don't have gray hair and say, I want to bless you? Gray-haired people, how can you reach down to the next generations and bless them and raise them up in Jesus? Because it's not about us, right? Dead silence. Dead silence. Okay, just so I'm clear, the gray-haired people, we're going to die. We need to raise up the next generation, okay? Let me just tell you. And some of you are closer to dying than others. So it's time to get ready and raise up the generation. All right. Yeah, good, good, good. Okay, there we go. Whew. All right. So us with gray hair need to not be thinking about ourselves. We need to be reaching down the next generations and raising them up in Jesus. And we can bless the next generations by doing that. Listen, we are blessed. And we need to celebrate God's blessing in our lives. I don't do that enough. I don't think we do that enough. We need to celebrate how much God's blessed us. We are a blessed people for so many reasons. But we must not stop there, because we are blessed to be a blessing. And at the heart of today's message is a very simple truth. Here it is. God has blessed us so we can bless others. So let's go do that. Let's live 6-8 in such a way that we pour out God's blessings on this city and the people in it this week. Amen? All right, let me pray. Father, thanks. Let us go do that. Father, empower us this week to go live 6-8. Empower us this week, God, to go out into the city and walk humbly, love mercy, act justly in a way that pours out blessings on the people around us. God, there are people in our lives who are in periods of darkness, and they just need us, people of hope, to come alongside and bring your light into that darkness. There are people, Father, we can bless materially. May we be willing to live open-handed lives. God, there are people in our lives who just need to know the love of Jesus, and we get to bless them with that love relationally. And God, I pray for all of us people with gray hair, that we'll look around in this church and we'll just ask you and plead with you that you will give us wisdom and understanding how together we can reach down and raise up that next generation for you and be a rich blessing in their lives. Father, thank you that you have blessed us in such ways. And so, God, may we go from this place to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.